The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
This Sunday, you're going to hear from five different preachers. So we're going to get out about 3 o'clock today. So if you want to like go on your app and you know place an order, you know for late. No, I'm totally teasing. Every one of these guys and ladies, they're going to get 6 minutes each, and it's going to be really fun. There's going to be a clock on the screen, and you can see it, and they can see it. And there's a little bit of pressure there, and I will warn you. So last year we did this. My wife was the only one to go over the time, and I think Pastor Jesse felt it was her obligation to make sure Lisa felt better, and so at Harvest Rio, Pastor Jesse went over the time, and actually my brother went over the time too, but there was grace for him because, well, I don't want to blow it, because he did something fun at the end, but I'm not going to blow it. And so here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce our five speakers, that way they can just tag team preach, right? You've seen maybe like tag team wrestling, right? So this is tag team preaching. It's way better than WWE, I promise you. And we're going to have a great time. So I'm going to introduce them. And here's our theme of the year. Okay, let me tell you our theme first. Our theme is this. It's New Year, Now What? New Year, Now What? See, a lot of us are asking this question. It's like, okay, the page has turned. There's something fresh, right? We were talking last night, and our oldest daughter, Mercy, goes, it's going to take me months to remember to write 2017 on all my papers, right? Like some of you, that's your biggest problem, right? Is what am I writing on my check or on my report, right? But the reality is we do get a fresh start. You know, yesterday, we were traveling home from Texas, and we stopped at Cadillac Ranch outside of Amarillo to tag some cars. Anyone ever done that? No one? Gosh, you need to do that. You need to go to Amarillo and spray paint some cars. And so we're spray painting cars, and there were some people out there. They were a little half-baked, and we were leaving, and I wished them a happy new year, and I had all three of my daughters with me, and I'm like, hey, guys, happy new year. Have a great one. And this guy, he's like, F, yeah, this better be an effing better year than last year effing was. And I'm like, oh, my Lord, my kids are right. Run to the car, girls. Run like the wind, right? But for some of you, you might not say it that way. You might. I don't know. But you feel that way. You're like, man, I do not want a repeat of what 2016 was. And I love the anticipation that a new year brings. It's like, well, now what, right? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be great? Is it going to be mediocre? What are we going to do this year? And so that's the theme that we've given our speakers. Let me introduce our speakers, and then we're going to dive in. You're going to have a blast. I'm just telling you right now. So we have a broad mix this year. We have a couple of men. We have a couple of women. We have some young. We have some not as young. We have a couple of staff members, some non-staff. But here's the common denominators. All five of these individuals are committed to Harvest. They are all five called by God and have an anointing on their life to preach the gospel. And so I'm excited to bring this team to you this morning. So right out of the gate, you're going to hear, I'm just going to have them wave at you when I introduce them, and then you'll see them when they come up. Right out of the gate, you're going to hear from Rachel Hance. So right there, Rachel Hance. And then following Rachel, you're going to hear from Chris Chombetta right here. And after Chris, you're going to hear from Pastor Jesse. And so if you don't know, Pastor Jesse is our kids pastor. So she had to get her team to take over today so she could be with us. A couple weeks ago, I went to her and I'm like, Pastor Jesse, I really want you to be one of our 6-minute sermon speakers. And she's like, I don't do that. I like kids. I don't know. I don't want to be in front of the adults. And I was like, well, you can do it or I can fire you. And so she did great at Rio Rancho. You're going to love hearing from Pastor Jesse. And then you're going to hear from Rena Peters. You're going to love it. I'm just telling you. And the last but certainly not least, you're going to hear from my brother, Pastor Gerald. It's going to be so much fun. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? So do something with me, all right? Do something with me. The most important part of coming to church is that we connect with the living God, and that we hear from him. And this morning, you're going to hear from him. You're going to hear from him, from God through his word. You're going to hear from God through five amazing speakers. But I want us right now just to take a moment. I want us to position our hearts to hear from God as we ask this question, new year, now what? Will you take 30 seconds and just say a prayer right now and just say, God, whatever you want to say to me today, I'm open, I'm listening, my ears are open, my heart, my mind, and let's just see what God has for us. Let's do that right now. Join me. Father, we open our hearts up right now. Lord, I thank you for your presence that was here as we worshiped you. I thank you for what you're doing already in this place today. But God, we just position our hearts right now to hear from you. God, as we're going into this new year, a lot of us are asking, now what? What do you have for us in this new year? And I believe that you're going to use these men and women and your word to speak to us over the next half hour. Lord, I pray, God, that you would anoint each of these speakers to speak your message into our hearts, and we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Give one big hand clap to start this off for Rachel Hands.
Hi, Harvest. How's it going? Happy New Year. How's everybody doing today? Well, it is awesome to be here. I was over at Rio Rancho just earlier. That was my first time on that campus. It is amazing. I'm so glad they're a part of our church family. We say hi to Cuesta, part of our church family. Today, I really feel like the Lord has given me a word about time. And so today I wanted to share with you some ideas from the New Testament about time. See, in English, we've got one word for time, and it kind of encompasses a whole lot of stuff, right? But in the New Testament Greek, there's many words for time. In fact, one of them is called chronos. Everybody say chronos. Chronos means chronology. It literally means the passage of time. Days, weeks, hours, months, years, that kind of thing. So when we woke up today, we turned over a brand new month, right? That's chronology. We turned over a brand new year. That's chronos time. But also in the Greek New Testament, we have something called kairos time. Everyone say kairos. Kairos means a divine appointment, something that's like set apart, a perfect anointed time where God sort of moves supernaturally into the moment. And what God wants to do in our lives is he wants to interrupt the chronology of our life and bring kairos moments where something divinely happens, because we sort of get stuck in chronology. We get stuck in the day-to-day living, right? The mundane. I get up, I go to work, I do the same thing over and over and over and over. And God wants to move in our lives in an amazing way. It has to do with your talents, your abilities, your calling, your purpose, your anointing. And what God normally does is he starts dropping what I call the God dream in your heart. It's the thing that you're supposed to do that's going to set you apart from everybody else and will give the impact for the kingdom of God. But what he often does, you're here over at point A, and God shows you something way over in the future at point Z. And you're like, I have no idea how that thing is ever going to come to pass. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And so we kind of forget about it. And we take that God dream, and we put it on the shelf of our life. And then the chronology of life begins to happen. The days pass, the months pass. For some of you, it could be years or decades that you've been waiting on the promises of God. And let me tell you, I think one of the hardest things to do as a Christian is to wait on God, to wait for those kairos moments to come into our life. So what do we need to do? If there's something that's really, really out there, guess what? You're not the only one. Because there's many characters in the Bible who had to wait a really long time for their God dream to take place. Let's talk about David. David was anointed king of Israel when he was a teenager. But he didn't become the king of Israel until much later on in his life. And he waited for a really long time for that thing to happen. We also have Abram. Right? God showed him something so far out there. He said, your descendants are going to be like the sands of the seashore and the stars in the sky. And eventually one of them is going to be the Messiah. What? Are you crazy, God? That is nuts. Have you seen the chronology of my life? I'm a little bit old. My wife and I, we're kind of too tuckered to pucker. Like, this thing isn't going to happen. But you know what God told him? He said, I'm not worried about your chronology. I'm not worried about your time frame because I'm outside your time frame. I'm not dictated by earthly time. The Bible says a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day to God. So he can make anything happen at just the kairos moment. So we've got the God dream on the shelf. It's something that makes our heart beat a little bit faster, makes our palms sweat a little bit. And we're like, this is the thing that I really want to do, but I don't know how to get there. So what do? This is the new year, now what? This is what I feel the Lord has for 2017 for Harvest Fellowship. This is the prophetic word that I feel like God gave me. It's time to take your God dream off the shelf and believe again. It's time to start taking steps of faith towards your dream. But what happens is we're so afraid we're going to make a mistake that we don't step out in faith. We start moving and we're like, oh, no. And so we just go back to the shore. And we're anchored by fear. God doesn't want us to be on the shore. He wants us to walk on the water. He wants us to take steps of faith toward what we're supposed to be doing. And what is faith? According to Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is substance and evidence. And the last time I checked, substance and evidence are tangible things that you can actually hold on to. So if God showed you a vision that you're supposed to be writing, you can take that to the bank and know that God is going to bring your dream to pass, but we take steps toward it. You should be writing something every single day. If God showed you that you need to work with kids or young people, you need to start working with Pastor Tyler or Pastor Jesse and get involved in our youth group. If the Lord showed you you need to be out on the mission field, then you need to start taking short-term missions trips with Pastor Jason and start moving toward what God has for you. God will move a steering ship and steer a moving ship. So God can do anything. He'll bring a Kairos time into your chronological time, and he'll make it amazing. So 2017 is our time to move toward what God has for us. Harvest, let's make it the best year ever.
God, I was told to do that. Hallelujah. Hey, good morning, Harvest. Praise God. Hey, now what? Praise God. Maybe last year was a great year for you. You saw God do amazing things in your life, your family, your job, and even in your church. Praise God. Or maybe last year was a complete blowout, and you're saying, I don't ever want to do that again. The awesome thing is we serve a God who doesn't waste anything. Amen? Whether things turn out just the way you expected or just the opposite, we can declare, we know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. So, now what? It's a new year, and I believe we need a God-ordained vision for what God has planned. See, we have the choice to remain stuck where we are, or we can pursue God with all of our heart, our soul, strength, and mind, and see what God has for us. You see, in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet decided he was going to do that very thing. He was going to pursue God. It was during a time of turmoil and uncertainty and unrest. There was wickedness throughout the nation, and he needed a move of God in his life and in his nation, and he needed to hear from God. And in Habakkuk 2:1, it says this, I will stand at my watch and station myself. I will look to see what he will say to me. In other words, church, now what, God? And in Habakkuk 2:3, it says, the vision is yet for the appointed time. God met Habakkuk, and he wants to meet you and me in this new year when we are willing to stop and take time to seek and wait on God and to see what he has for us. So, what has God been speaking to you or showing you? What are you waiting on God for? Is what's next to receive the vision or the revelation, or is what's next to walk it out? I remember some years ago, it took 10 years after the vision to get on the mission field. 10 years later, I was finally on the mission field on a Sioux reservation in the Dakotas. And I remember being there for some time, and it took one, after 1 year, all I had in church were just kids. And by the way, if God sends you kids, you have kids' church, amen? Come on, that's what you do for 1 year. But during that year, I had a God-ordained moment. I was up at the church on one day, and a bunch of kids were playing football down in the field in front of the church, and some of the kids had come up and knocked on the office door and said, Pastor, will you come out? There's a drunk guy down in the field, and he took our football from us. And I said, now what? So I went down to the field, And there was a guy, middle-aged guy from the reservation. He was laying in the on the grass, and he was definitely drunk, and he was rolling around with the football, laughing and having a good old time by himself. And I went over, and I did what any pastor would do. You just introduce yourself, and if God sends you the lost, you point him how to get saved, how to be found. Amen? Come on, that's what you do. So I began to talk to him and share with him, and I believe in sharing the word of God while you're talking to people, because when the lost come, they need to hear the word. And I believe that God's word is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, both joint and marrow, and able to judge the intentions and the thoughts of the heart. I figured this, if my words didn't make it, God's word surely would cut into the inner part of this man. And during that time, I remember, I was having it was kind of a strange thing. I was having a conversation in the back of my mind because I felt the Spirit of God welling up in me. And I felt like I just wanted to start praying in tongues. And I started to think, man, if I just stop praying in tongues, this guy's going to think I'm nuts. And then I had this revelation. Who cares? He's drunk anyways. Come on, he ain't even going to remember this day anyhow. So I just let the Spirit of God just well out and just go. And I just started praying in tongues. And it was one of those anointed times when the spit's flying, the tears are coming down, and the snot's running down. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. And I remember this guy saying, his name was Johnny, and I remember him saying this. How do you know the Lakota language? And man, when I heard him say that, I just started praying even harder because I do not know the Lakota Sioux language. And as I was praying, I remember him saying, why are you saying that to me? Why do you keep telling me those things? And then I noticed he dropped his head and just began to look down. And as the Lord gave me a release, I asked him, I said, Johnny, did you know what I was saying? He said, yes. I said, I want to let you know something. God took the time to meet you in your day today because he loves you and cares about you. You see, as we're walking out the vision, God will interrupt us sometimes, and we are just to stay walking on that path. The place God gives us interruptions in the vision sometimes, they're placed there for a purpose. Jesus had many of those interruptions, and he touched people's lives and changed the world. So I ask you, church, what are you waiting for today? What are you waiting on God for? What dreams or visions have you had that have not yet been fulfilled? And today, if you'll pursue God and allow him to show you how to be victorious in the waiting, he will give you the vision and he will direct you in all that he has. I close with this in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Harvest. Let's go into 2017. We're already in it with God's vision and his plans for our life. Amen. God bless you.
That story has got me twice in a row now. I just love it. All right, you guys still awake? Yes? All right, awesome. Well, I said it earlier at first campus, so you didn't hear it. I'm going to say it now, that how cool is it that we get to be here on the very first day of 2017 having church together? Isn't that awesome? In fact, it's so awesome, I wore my party shirt. Gerald was a little bit concerned because he said, I don't even have a party shirt. And I said, I do. That's the point. I have a party shirt. Well, as you know, I'm the children's pastor here, and I love kids. I love kids so much that I actually have other jobs that deal with kids. I'm a children's pastor. I'm an elementary music teacher and a chaplain and a nanny. So I'm love kids. In fact, I love them so much, and I've been with them for so long that I haven't spent much time with you smelly adults in a little while. And so I have noticed that my vocabulary is not very adult-like these days. In other words, I say things like, I have to go potty, or my tummy's starting to hurt. So I apologize in advance for all of my kid talk and the way that I'm going to show you some things today. Are you guys ready? Okay, how many of you love Christmas? It's over, right? But how many of you love Christmas? Like, you're so excited, you can't wait for those songs to come out, you can't wait for all the decorations to show up, you can't wait to get out your Christmas tree, you absolutely cannot wait to be walking into those stores and you just go, oh, I smell Christmas. Are you like that? Anybody? Amen? Yes? No? Okay. I'm like that, so I totally support you. Although, on the other side, if you are not like that and you don't really care for the Christmas stuff or you're kind of over it and you're really excited that it's done, I apologize, but I'm bringing it back for one more day. There's a character that we talk about or comes up during Christmas time that is very important to me because as we're talking about New Year, now what? He is the answer to my now what. So, we're going to play a game. a guessing game. I'm going to give you a clue, and you're going to see if you can guess the song that I am going to start singing. In fact, I don't even want to start singing it. You get to start singing it, okay? Are you ready? Okay, hold, please. Are you holding? Sing it. Don't go out for the choir, you guys. All right, you can stop. You can stop. That's uncomfortable. Rudolph. Not your singing the nose. So I apologize. Rudolph. Rudolph is the most important character for me for 2017. He's the answer to my new year. Now what? And here's why. We know his story, right? He was born. He had normal parents. The parents were expecting him to be normal. And all of a sudden, they discover something different about him. They discover that he actually has a shiny red nose. And they're looking at him going, what on earth? He is odd. Why is he like this? What is going on? They try to cover it up. They try to hide it. Eventually, he ends up feeling so rejected that he leaves. He goes on basically a life mission with all the misfit toys, trying to figure out who he is, why he has a shiny nose, and lo and behold, he figures out his calling on his life. It was important. Santa has a sleigh. The reindeers are the ones that pull it. But in the middle of the night, how on earth are they going to be able to see where they're going? Rudolph, his nose. He's special. He's different. Rudolph is set apart. I'm going to take this off now. Okay. Rudolph is set apart. Set apart is very, very interesting to me. In the dictionary, it says, set someone or something apart is to make someone or something different and special. Another definition says, to keep something separate in order to use it for a particular purpose. Interesting. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God has created you to be different. God has set you apart. He's already given you a plan for your life. You have a calling on your life. Rachel talked about it. It's kind of like that dream that's up there. You might not know what your calling is yet. It might be that dream that's waiting for you to open. You might already know what your plan is. God has given you a plan, and he wants you to be set apart. We live in a crazy world, or we can say a cray world, right? You guys know that's slang for crazy? It's okay. We live in a crazy world. How on earth are we supposed to be Jesus followers? How are we supposed to walk the path that God wants us to walk if we are not living set apart? By living set apart, I mean watching the words that are coming out of your mouth. Are they godly? Are you using language, bad language? Funny story, I was in Dallas last week for Christmas with my family. I embarrassed my sister Michaela really bad in the store. She was trying to get me back, and so she told my other sister, she said, hey, watch this. She looks at me and she goes, but. And I went, don't you say that. We don't talk like that. And instantly, as I'm saying that, I knew I walked into a trap. She was trying to pull that out in from me, and I gave it to her. And she just starts laughing. She goes, ha-ha, see, I told you, she's such a kid's pastor. Well, I am, but I'm also set apart. I don't want my words to match the words that the world is using. I don't want my actions to match the actions that the world is using. I'm not going to be drunk at night. I'm not going to be making things and doing things and using my body for things that are not set apart. My family, my mom and my dad are amazing, and they raised me to be set apart. They raised all of us to be set apart. But when I hit high school, I started to become something different. You see, on the outside, I went to church. I was Miss Popular at church, okay? I went to church. I was beautiful, gorgeous on the outside. I did everything, and I said everything that everybody expected me to do and to say. But if you cut me open and you looked on the inside, I was like a rotten fruit. On the inside, I was not set apart any longer. I was allowing my mind to go to things that were not pleasing unto the Lord. I was listening to things hidden in my bedroom that I shouldn't have been listening to, songs that had bad words in it, different things, context that was just horrible. I started to decline. My parents noticed my behavior on the outside was actually changing at home. It took me a while before I realized that I wasn't set apart anymore, and I had to completely hit rock bottom. That devil got to me, and I had to change around and realize that I wasn't being set apart and that I needed to live set apart. I needed to walk set apart. I don't know about you, but I want to be like Rudolph in 2017. One more thing, because I'm a kids pastor, so I have to put it in there. Are you raising your kids to be set apart? It's hard. I know it's hard, but are you raising them to be set apart? That is so important for them. My very last thing today is that in 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through it, it says, "But friends, you're not in the dark. So how could you be taken off guard by any of this? You're sons of light, daughters of day. We live under wide open skies and know where we stand. So let's not sleepwalk through life like those others. Let's keep our eyes open and be smart. People sleep at night and get drunk at night, but not us. Since we're creatures of day, let's act it. Walk out into the daylight, sober, dressed up in faith, love, and the hope of salvation. You are set apart."
I got to tell you a story. I love stories. And it's about these two guys I know. And one of them just happens to be named Clyde. And the other one just happens to be named Jason. Now, they were out on a country road, and they were driving around. And all of a sudden, there's Jason doing his thing, texting, got live video going on like this. And there's Clyde. He's pushing down the gas, and nothing's happening. He looks over at Jason. He says, "Jason, think the fuel pump's going out of the car." Jason, being a man of great faith, says, "Wait a minute, God will take care of us." Looks around. Oh, my gosh, sure enough, there's a ranch. And this ranch has got junk cars everywhere. I'm talking car after car after car. He says, "Clyde, if we can just make it to that drive, I think they should have a fuel pump among one of those cars." So sure enough, they get up there, and they knock on that rancher's door, and they ask that rancher, "Do you mind if we go out and find a fuel pump? We'll gladly pay you for that pump." That rancher says, "Yeah, you can go on out, but I got to tell you, I got a mean junk dog, and you got to be very careful of him because he will bite." So the two boys get out there. Pretty soon, they forget about that junk dog, and they're looking around for the fuel pump, and they're checking here. Now, Clyde, he's starting to get bored. He's looking around, and he sees this gigantic hole. "Jason, how deep do you think that hole is?" Now, Jason, he ain't caring at this point how deep that hole is. He wants that fuel pump, man of a mission. So he tells Clyde, "Just drop a rock down and see." So he does. He drops it. Nothing. Now it's starting to get Jason's attention. "Try a bigger one." So Clyde gets one about yay big, holds it over that hole, and drops it. Absolutely nothing. So then they're looking around, they're both getting excited, and they see this engine block, and they pick that sucker up, and they drop it in the hole. And all of a sudden, they see this chain bouncing. They look up, and here comes Cujo, the dog, coming over that hill, and he's coming, and just lava coming everywhere, running full pace. And he hits that hole, and down he goes. Clyde looks at him and says, "What's next?" You ever been there? What's next? We're in the first day of 2017. What is next? Have you had any, how many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Anyone here? Every year I do. It's on diet. I'm thinking if I lose 40 pounds, I might look 20 again. Now, some of you might have some financial things. Maybe you want to get a budget going. You've been watching on TV, going to get it organized. Or maybe you've decided this is the year that I'm going to chase after Jesus with everything in my being. Then what happens is a couple days later, guess what? I'm back to eating. I'm off that treadmill. I quit riding my bicycle. Or maybe you've started your budget. You've looked at it. Next thing you know, you put the budget aside and you're back to spending. Or maybe it's 2017 and you're ready to serve Jesus. And then all of a sudden that devil tells you, "Don't you remember what you did last year? You know, don't you remember what people labeled you with? Don't you remember what people called you? Don't you remember that you stole, that you lied? Maybe you even smoked some dope or drank some beer." You see, all of a sudden, you're chained for your past, but Jesus has already washed you clean. You can walk free, but yet you're chained to the past. You're like Cujo the dog who was chained, and he had no choice. He's running. When those boys dropped that thing in that hole, that dog had no choice but go through the mud, through the darkness of the hole, till his death. You see, what you are chained to is what you're going to follow. But we serve a good God. So I'm here to encourage you. We do not have to be changed. Yesterday does not matter because we've got a God that changes everything. John 8, verse 32. Now I'm old, so I got to make like big print to make sure I can see that Bible. It says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins, is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I don't know about you, but that should excite you today. That should excite you that you are free, that you are no longer chained. I want you to look at, I've already busted it. I want you to look at the things of the past that have kept you chained. And I want you to realize, because we've got a good God, a great God, a holy God, that our past doesn't matter. We have been set free. And Jesus Christ, and today is a new day to serve the God that we love.
About a week ago, I was driving home in my truck, and I had my family in there with me. And in the back of the truck, there was a pile of brand new Christmas presents. So many, it was actually a little embarrassing. We pulled into the driveway, and I put the truck in park. And I said, hold on, guys, before you jump out of the car, we've got to do something. I want you to know, before any of these new Christmas presents go into our house, we have got to make room for them. We have so much junk everywhere. The closets are full. The baskets are full. Everything's full. There's toys all over the floor. We have got to clear some stuff out before anything goes inside. My boys started whining. We explained it to them again. We got out of the car, we went inside, and we did exactly that. We grabbed bags and boxes, and we cleaned house. We took care of business. We took all kinds of stuff to Goodwill, and we made space for some new things. In 2017, we may need to clear out some things in our lives to make room for the new things of God. Lives that are centered around doing what we want, when we want, how we want, are lives without space for God. It's common for people to invite God into their lives because of the benefits they know that he's going to bring. But once they've done that, they relegate him to the only spot left open on the carpet. And because of that, then they wonder, why can't I hear God? Why can't I see God? Where is he? In 2017, God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you. In 2017, God wants to empower you. God wants to change your life. So make room for him. In John chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing people. Jesus is baptizing people nearby. And some of John's followers come to him and say, John, we have a problem here. We have a problem because you're baptizing people. You're John the Baptist. Well, Jesus came along and now everybody's going to him. Like, what are we going to do? All these people are going to him. What do you have to say about it? And in this moment, he has an opportunity to have an identity crisis because, again, he's known as John the Baptist. If you were so-and-so the Baptist, you would have the corner on baptizing, right? That would be your thing. It's your identity. It's who you are. It's what you do. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along, and he's taken all of your people away. He could have an identity crisis, but he knows where his identity lies, and so he responds with this. A person can only receive what is given them from heaven. He must become greater. I must become less. This life is not about us. We will gain so much if we adopt John's lifestyle, and God becomes greater as we become less. As we move forward, it can be helpful to sometimes look back and to remember what God has already done. To remember the times when God healed us. Has God healed anybody here in this room? Remember that moment. To look back and to remember the times when God spoke to us in that perfect moment. We waited and waited and then he spoke in that perfect moment. Has that happened with anybody else? We look back and we remember the times when we had peace in the midst of what seemed to be an impossible situation, and we knew God was there with us. It's the memories of God's faithfulness that help us with the uncertainty of the future. If we don't pause periodically to be reminded of God's faithfulness, then we'll tend to forget. And if we forget God's faithfulness, then what do we have to hold on to? In the book of Isaiah, the people of Israel find themselves captives once again. You may remember a story where Israel were captives in Egypt, and God had set them free, and they've gone through an entire cycle, and here they are again, captives once more because they chose to relegate God to a spot on the carpet. They chose to increase themselves and decrease God and His importance. And so they became slaves to sin and slaves to Babylon. In chapter 43, there's a point where God begins to speak to them about how He's going to set them free. He's going to change the situation, and they're going to be free once again. But to give them confidence, He begins to remind them. He pauses and He says, "Do you remember when you were in Egypt and you were slaves and there was no hope, but then I did it. I set you free. And if I did it then, I can do it now." He reminds them that He is holy and He is perfect in all His ways, so they can trust Him. He has a history of flipping impossible situations on their heads. When they were standing fearfully between an army and a sea that could drown them, God stepped in and He divided the sea. He made a path for them to be saved and also a way to destroy their enemy. Doesn't looking back at what God has done in His faithfulness give us a little confidence to step forward? Knowing what God has done, I would describe as a handhold. Anybody ever done rock climbing? You know the importance of a handhold. You've got to have something to hold on to so you don't fall back. When we look back at the faithfulness of God, we get a handhold. We remember the time He healed us, we get another handhold. When we know that moment that He spoke and He was faithful, we have another handhold, and those are critical for us. But we don't just need handholds. We need footholds. Footholds are the ability to launch upward, to go somewhere new, because staying in one place was never God's plan. Immediately after God reminds the Israelites, "You remember what I did? You remember how I set you free? You remember how I was faithful?" He then comes in verse 18 of chapter 43 in Isaiah, and He says, "Forget those things. Forget those former things. Don't dwell on them." I mean, yeah, they were important, but don't dwell on them. Why? "Because I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Not only am I faithful then, but I'm faithful today, and I'll be faithful tomorrow in a way that you may have never even imagined." Because God wants to do new things, not just repeat old things. And as we move into 2017, I want to encourage you to set your mind on the fact that God is more than faithful, and He wants to do new things in your life. In closing today, I want to do a quote by a great theologian, Toby Mack. He once said this: "My God is doing a brand new thing, and since time began, He remains the same. Faithful forever to His word and solid." Did you like that? "A cornerstone unstirred. But look down through the ages and you will find God doesn't change, but He knows the time. From harp to piano and song to rap, you know God is with us, so we cannot lack." And this is the part that's added by me. So here's what to do in 2017. Throw all your junk right out the door. Give God more than just a spot on the floor. Don't dwell on the past. Those things won't last. We could sit right here, talk about old flings. Nah, keep your eyes on God because He's doing new things. Peace.
Oh, my goodness. Was that fun? You picked a good Sunday, right? Did you feel the Holy Spirit come into the room when Toby Mack's rap started? I was, man, Gerald, that touched me. That was good. That was good. But, man, that was awesome. So here's what we're going to do is, there's a lot of good reasons to come to church every week. You get to, see your friends and hang out with people that are good influences on you, and your kids are in a safe, fun atmosphere learning about God. But the most important thing is that we respond to what God is doing in our hearts. One of the things I love about this particular Sunday is that I do absolutely nothing to try to manipulate the various messages, and we don't coordinate. All I gave these five was this theme, was New Year, now what? And what's fun for me is to see the thread that the Holy Spirit weaves through each of their individual messages that just ties it all together. And so as we respond, I just really feel led. We're gonna respond in two ways. And it's important that we do this in this order. And you'll see as we do this morning, you'll see that this is what the Holy Spirit was saying through all five of these very unique individuals and very unique messages. You know, one of the things I heard, and you probably heard it as well, was that some of us need to do something now in order to get ready for the new things that are ahead, right? Rena talked to us about the fact that what we're chained to, we'll be forced to follow those things. In other words, in order to go after the new dream, some of us have some things that we need to break ties with, right? Gerald talked about how we have to clean house in order to get ready for the new stuff. And I just, as I was sitting there, and truthfully, here's what's fun, is I heard, this was my second time to hear these, but in the second time, I heard some new things. I heard it in a new way. And I just really sensed the Spirit just stir my heart to lead us into a moment of breaking the chains and cleaning the house, right? Of preparing for what God has for us in this new year. And so right where you're at, I just want you to bow your heads right now, close your eyes here and up in Cuesta. And this is the most important moment of today. This is the most important thing that's going to happen as we respond to what God is doing. And I don't want to drag this out. I'm just going to ask you this. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, there's something in my heart, something in my life that moving into 17, I need to break a chain. I need to break an addiction. I need to break off a relationship that's keeping me back. I need to break a pattern in my life that I know, Pastor, it's going to keep me from achieving your dreams, God's dreams in my life. Or you'd say it this way. Maybe the other illustration resonates in you. You'd say, Pastor, I need to clean some things out of my life, out of my heart, in order to just grab a hold of the new stuff ahead. You just say, Pastor, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to do that right now. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right where you're at? Just raise your hand. No one's looking around. I'm not going to ask you to confess it or come down here. This is you and God. This is you responding to God. And hands all over this room are going up. And let's just pray right now. You respond right now, right where you're at. You clean your heart out. You break that chain. You ask God right now to come into your life and to begin the process of doing a new thing. Let's just do it right now. Father, all across this room, so many of us are identifying the places in our lives, in our hearts, that are holding us back from the dreams that you have over our lives. God, I pray that right now, Lord, as we're giving things up, as we're breaking addictions, we're breaking those habits, those patterns, as we're breaking those things off, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this room right now. Holy Spirit, thank you for your convicting power that already is at work, that began to convict us of the things that we need to break free from, the things that we need to clean out of our hearts. And now I pray that, Holy Spirit, your power, God, would come into our lives to assure us that those old things are going to go away. Those old patterns are going to be broken. Holy Spirit, I ask that in the coming moments, in the coming days, that you would strengthen us and encourage us and help us as we clean house, as we get ready for the new things that are ahead. God, I pray, Lord, for the courage for my friends who are going to have to make courageous decisions this week to change very practical things about their lives so that we don't go back to the old ways. Lord, I thank you that as we look back, we can be reminded of your faithfulness, and that gives us assurance for our future. So some of us right now, we're tapping into that confidence by remembering all the times that you've been faithful to us. Jesus' name. And will you just stand with me all across the room? Everyone here, just stand with me. And here's part two. Part two is we're going to look ahead. If you know me, that's the part I like. We're going to look ahead. See, I believe This isn't just something that preachers say to fire you up, but I really do believe that your best days are ahead. Like, if that's not true, then just give up. Like, let's stop. Like, let's close the church down and just, we're done. Like, I really do believe that your best days are ahead. And so let's respond in this second way. Let's just, you know, my favorite thing to say is yes, right? Let's respond right now by just saying, God, whatever you have, right? Whatever you have, whatever's ahead, whatever. And here's what I think is going to happen. This has been my prayer over this moment. And you heard this in these messages too. As I believe that in the next couple of moments that God's going to revive some old dead dreams. Some dreams that, as Rachel said, they've been put on the shelf, right? And in these moments, there's some dreams in your heart. They may be years, decades old, and the Holy Spirit's going to remind you and say, hey, remember I called you to that thing? Remember I asked you? Remember I set you apart, right, to be this, to do this, to go, right? And he's going to revive, and then for some of you, he's going to begin to dream new dreams in your heart. Like it's just a moment. No one's going to say anything. Holy Spirit's just going to, boom, he's going to drop a dream in your heart for this year, for you and for your family, for our church, for Albuquerque and Cuesta and Rio Rancho, for our nation. He's just going to drop some dreams in our hearts if we'll just make ourselves available. We'll listen for what the Holy Spirit's doing. Let's do that right now. Just respond right now. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would begin to revive old, dead dreams. Lord, inside of this room, there is some amazing, amazing potential inside of godly men and godly women. Lord, there are dreams that were placed inside of our hearts at particular moments of our lives. And for one reason or another, we have walked away from those. For one reason or another, we put them away and we forgot about them. But this morning, on a new year, a new chance, a new opportunity. God, you are reviving old, dead dreams. And so, God, we respond to you and we just say, yes, yes, we'll do it. We'll go. We'll be that person. We'll step up to the plate. We'll respond. We're doing it right now in our hearts all across this room. And God, I pray right now that you would begin some new dreams as well. Okay, because what's exciting is now there's opportunity because so many of us, we just dealt with some things in our heart that were keeping us from the ability to walk out your dreams in our lives. And so God, right now, will you just drop a God dream into some of our hearts right now? God, you reminded us through these five messages that in 2017, you are speaking. And so we say as your people, we are listening. We're listening right now. We're listening for your word, for your command, for your dream, for your vision. God, I pray that right now you'd give husbands and fathers dreams for their family. Lord, that they begin to dream, mothers and wives would begin to dream about what 2017 can look like for their family. God, I pray over young people, Lord, over our teenagers, that they begin to dream dreams, Lord, for their school, that they begin to dream dreams over their future. Lord, I pray that right now, God, you begin, even as our kids are back at Harvest Kids, you begin to plant dreams in their hearts even right now. Big, big, big God dreams. Dreams that we can't accomplish without you. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd put those in our hearts right now. And while, God, we just say yes. We say yes. Our answer is yes. We'll do it. We'll go. God, we'll respond. And Lord, I thank you for the God dreams that are going to happen in 2017. Lord, there is anticipation in my heart. Lord, as we're going into this new year, there's excitement in my heart this morning over what you're going to do in our community this year, what you're going to do in our church, what you're going to do, Lord, in our families this year. There's anticipation, Lord, as we're going to chase dreams together. We're going to help each other accomplish their dreams. And helping them, we're going to accomplish some of our dreams. God, you're going to weave this amazing story together this year in 2017. But God, we cannot do it without you. And so we surrender to you again. Surrender our hearts to you, God. Lord, we say, have your way in our lives today and every year in 2017. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.